Are you ready? Indianapolis. The time has come. The bell has rung. Get in your seat for School Talk. I'm your host, and my name is Emerson. This is School Talk. You have tuned to the right station at the right time. Sometimes we make the wrong decision, and that decision can change our lives forever. Today you will make another decision, so make the right move and jump on the bus. Here it comes! Woo! School Talk has arrived! Come on, let's go! On School Talk we deal with issues. Issues that involve you, the student. Issues that involve you, the parent. Issues that involve you, the teacher. So get your pen, or your pad, or your personal planner. We're going to take notes. There will be a test. This is School Talk!
Take your seats and get ready. Take your seats and get ready. School Talk is in session. I'm not Emerson, but Emerson's right here. He'll be here in just a second. I'm not Emerson. Emerson's here. You're not either, but welcome to School Talk. Main lines 244-9234. That's 244-WBDG. I'm not sure. I think the email is schooltalk1@yahoo.com. And we're here, of course, on the west side. Got a great guest this morning. We will, if you follow us on Twitter, you know who our guest is, or Facebook or any of our other social media channels. You know who our guest is. So if not, though, if you're just tuning in, maybe you don't have social media, maybe you don't participate in social media because you think it's, you know how social media is, Max.
Yeah, I do. I understand.
We'll tell you our guest in just a second. And Max, mm-hmm. How are you this morning?
I'm doing good.
How's soccer going?
It's going okay.
It's going?
Yeah, it's just going.
Well, but it's going.
Yeah.
And you're playing.
Yep.
Did you guys win or lose?
We've had some losses.
Oh, okay, we won't talk about those then. No, but still, that's good, though, keeping those activities going. Anything else new?
Not much, no.
Any plans for the weekend?
I got a game out Saturday at Speedway, and then Sunday is just going to be watching football all day.
So if you want to see Max in action, you can go over to Speedway on Saturday.
10 a.m.
And you can say, hey, I know you, Max. You're the producer of School Talk.
Yes, you can.
Yep. So why don't we talk about that thing on the wall, and then we'll make an amazing transition, and then I will turn into Emerson.
All right. So fall break is October 9th through 24th. That means no school. Also, our homecoming game at Ben Davis is October 1st at 7 p.m. That's against Carmel. The Claremont Lions Club Festival is September 18th at Lions Club Park, all day starting at 10 a.m. with the parade at 11 a.m. There's a DJ, a car show, and fun. And the cost? It's free. Then we have Inside Ben Davis Football. It's Tuesdays at 7 p.m. live with our podcast on Audio Boom. It's the big one this week, Warren Central at Ben Davis. It's Friday at 7 p.m. tonight. Audioboom.com is where you can find our podcast. Search WBDGFM. We're also on Spotify and other podcast sites. Our social media is at WBDGIndy, except for our TikTok at Giant90.9. And School Talk airs every Friday at 7:30 a.m. with replays Sunday at 2.
Good. That's what we call that. Man, what we call that thing?
That's the big board.
I tell you, I need more coffee. I need about a gallon of coffee. Push the magic button for my guest. I'm so excited. Woo! Man, last time we had the man. We had the prosecutor. We had Terry Cummins. Terry Curry. We had Terry Cummins too. We had Terry Curry on our show. We talked about some stuff and things, and we're gonna do it again. I am so purple proud. Push the magic button one more time. Mr. the prosecutor. Woo! Mr. Ryan Mears. Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me.
Ma'am, I mean push the magic button again. I'm gonna tell you why I pushed the magic button so many times, because this man is busy. That's B-U-S-Y. I think I spelled that right. He is totally busy. Okay, before I get my stuff and things, I wanna know what high school you went to. What college you went to, first of all? What high school and what college?
So I'm a West Side guy. So I actually went to Cardinal Ritter High School over here on the West Side. And then I went to St. Joseph's College in Rensselaer, Indiana, which is unfortunately now closed. But that's where I went to, did my undergrad at. And Man, it's a pleasure to be here anytime, but big game Friday going against Warren Central. We got a lot to talk about. There's a lot going on this campus.
Yeah, we do. Well, it's all student produced, and like you can tell, Max behind the airways. I mean, I can even not be here, and Max will still produce the show because it is student produced, and that's the way it's supposed to be. And I'm so glad that you took time out to come out to talk to us. And I'm going to talk about your time a little bit in my second half. Because you really, really, really are busy here in Marion County. And I'm so glad that you are here with us because you've been doing stuff and things. Now, I got a list of questions that I got from your office to ask you. I'm not going to ask none of those. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But you grew up on the West Side?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And you went to high school on the West Side. Now, you always wanted to get into law enforcement, getting into law. What was your passion with that?
No, I thought I was going to play in the NBA. I'm a 6'5" guy. I got a decent jump shot. I was like, man,
y'all should see his shoes.
Yeah, I saw them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's what I thought I was going to be doing. Uh-huh. But Ritter's not competing with Ben Davis, although we were in the same sectional back in the day.
Right.
And so that's what I thought I was going to do, like a lot of kids. And then when I got to college, I realized that wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
And I went to law school, and I knew I wanted to pursue something in public service. And I was either going to be a defense attorney or a prosecutor. And really, the only reason I ended up in the prosecutor's office as opposed to the public defender agency was I was fortunate enough to go to the prosecutor's office. I actually had a student loan program.
Okay.
And that's what I needed, was something to help out with student loans. So that's literally how I ended up in the prosecutor's office. Started in kind of like an entry-level job at the prosecutor's office and just worked my way up, and now I'm the Marion County prosecutor.
Now, this is a lot of kids listen to our show, and they're going through stuff, and they're going through processes trying to make decisions of what they want to do. While you were in high school, you knew you wanted to be a basketball player.
Right.
When you got to college, something changed?
Reality. Reality. You get to, I went to St. Joe's, and for those of you who don't know, it's literally halfway between Indianapolis and Chicago. We had a lot of players on our team from Chicago and played in the Chicago League. And they were just incredibly talented, and it was a pretty rude awakening for me, but it was also good just to kind of have a better understanding of where I fit in. Mm-hmm. And I think those things are important to go through. And my first love and my first passion was basketball, but I think it's also important to remember that whoever you are, you have more to offer than just a sport. There's more to you as a person than just playing a particular game. And, you have to be ready to kind of move on to the next thing when it's time. I still love the game of basketball. I still play it. I still watch it. But very few people get to pick that as a career. And so that's something that I just hope everybody keeps in mind as they kind of work through what they're going to do or what they're going to be when they grow up. Just keep an open mind about where life might take you.
I asked that question for a number of reasons. One, because our kids here go through it, and I've got personal with that question because my grandson used to play ball for a little bit, BD, played a little bit of part tutor. Now he's out of high school. The graduation he had, he didn't even go across the list stage because during pandemic 101, the very first series of pandemic, we're still going through a pandemic. So, and now the basketball dreams are gone, and he's going through a process trying to figure out what he wants to do at a very young age of 19 years old. That's really tough.
It is tough, and you put your heart and soul into something, which so many people do who engage in competitive athletics, and you put your heart and soul into that, and then there comes a time, no matter who you are or how good you are, we're all told at some point in time, we're no longer going to be able to continue to play this game.
Yeah.
And I think you need to number one, be grateful for the opportunities that you had to play, but also understand it's not the end of the world when your career comes to an end. And again, I hope people realize that you have so much more to offer than just playing the game of basketball or football or baseball, whatever it might be. You're going to make tremendous contributions to this community. You're going to have a great life. But there is a little bit of growing pains when you kind of have to move through that process of kind of giving up on that dream.
One thing that I'm going to stay with the basketball analogy right now, because you haven't dropped the ball either when it comes to basketball, because your office is doing basketball clinics.
Yeah,
what
absolutely.
What is that? Okay, I know. You show up in prosecutor's office, there's a doctor there, he operates on you, and I'm just kidding.
Yeah, well, so we did our first ever basketball camp this year with the Marion County Prosecutor's Office. And the reason we wanted to do that basketball camp is I'm always looking for ways that I can engage with young people in a way that's not controversial, okay, or where it's not confrontational, where there's been some sort of bad thing or bad situation that has occurred, and that's what's bringing us together. I don't always want to just talk to young people after a violent crime has occurred. I'm looking for opportunities to engage in a meaningful way. And one of the great things about sports is it can bring people together. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that we tried to accomplish with the basketball camp was, okay, let's figure out a way where we can bring a bunch of kids together and they can hopefully see prosecutors in a different light.
Okay.
And prosecutors can see kids in a different light. And in terms of just getting to know kids a little bit, what's going on with them? What are their day-to-day stressors? And, you know, it's really hard to have a relationship with anyone when the only time you talk to them is when something bad happens. Yeah. But if you create those opportunities to have conversations outside of, you know, when a negative situation occurs, and really just try to reach out and show kids, hey, I'm just here trying to invest in you, mm-hmm. But I'm also here just trying to have a good time. Let's go play a game of knockout. Let's go play a game of 3-on-3. Let's do a free throw contest. And, you know, anytime I get the opportunity to share my passion and enthusiasm for the game of basketball, I love that and I want to take advantage of that. But I also want to share that with kids because I know there's so many young people who have that same passion. And that's something that can bring us together and hopefully build that bridge and have that conversation where people can say, hey, I talked to the prosecutor, we saw the prosecutor, and it was all about ball. It wasn't about other things.
That does work. Providing the young person, and you can't give up on nobody, if their mind is just a little bit open. I go back, I'm 66, I think about the Perry Mason days, the hard prosecutor. You couldn't touch him, couldn't talk to him even when he was not on. Then you saw the real ones in court. And then it was Officer Rogers, when I was a young kid from Terre Haute, he rode a motorcycle. And I thought he was the meanest guy in the world until one day he spoke to me. And he said, hi. I said, hello. What's your name? I said, Emerson. He said, okay, I just saw you a few days from over by my house, and you're going to school, and what grade you're in. He just started talking to me. And it was just that talk. That I, from that point on, he no longer was the bad guy. I saw him in a whole new different light because I was open just a little bit.
It's amazing what we can do when we let our guard down a little bit and just try to see each other as people as opposed to just kind of coming into all these conversations with our own preconceived ideas and notions. And what I've found is that, you know, I think it's on adults a lot of times to try to break down that barrier, mm-hmm. and to try to be proactive and say, okay, what can we do to try to reach young people and have that conversation with young people. And it's and the other thing I think we all have to be honest with ourselves about is the way young people interact with each other, the way young people communicate with each other is completely different than it was even 5 years ago. And how young people consume media and how they process information is way different. And so we in government and teachers and educators, we have to look for new ways to reach kids because kind of the traditional ways of doing it, kids are on their phone a lot. So how can we penetrate that phone and have that conversation? How can we reach kids directly? How can we get them to put down their phone and listen to us? And one of the best ways to do that is through sports and basketball. And that's why I was so passionate about this idea of the basketball camp. Mm-hmm. It was a tremendous success. I look forward to doing it again next year. And probably some of the most rewarding and fulfilling days I've had as a prosecutor is getting those chances to develop those relationships with young people.
You got to reach them where you can reach them also, because actually back in 2016, Prosecutor Terry Curry was on our show, and I like to, in his memory, like, you know, ask all men to get your prostate checked if you're at the age of 40. This September is Prostate Cancer Awareness Month, so please, I'm a prostate cancer survivor myself. So I encourage all men to get yourself checked out so you can be around to help our young people. And I brought it up because the prosecutor's office has always been involved with our young people. And you got to approach them from where something that you are natural with. So you're in your element when you're talking basketball.
Absolutely.
So kids know you're not fake.
Right.
Because they can see a fake person a mile away. If you ain't genuine, then you ain't got nothing to say to me.
Yeah.
You know, so they see that. And I appreciate that, and because you got to get to them where you can, because, oh, gosh, I mean, I'm a former state trooper. I've seen that we've seen things that you only see in a movie.
Right.
You know, I've seen things that people would never, ever, ever, ever seen. I hope they never, ever, ever seen. But you got to reach them where you can reach them. And I take my hat off to you. And you got to keep doing what you're doing. And it's hard. I know it's hard. I'm filling your beans, your Kool-Aid. But some things make sense. And some things just don't make no sense. And this has got to be one of those.
In a world filled with confusality, one man stood to make sense of everything.
Now it's time for...
It don't make no sense. It don't make no sense.
Some things just don't make no sense. Okay. I spent time working in the public, working for a state trooper. I spent time working with Mayor Bart Peterson as the faith-based coordinator for 6 years. Now, I know you can fool, it's a saying out there, you can fool all the people some of the time, and some of the people all the time, but you cannot fool all the people all the time. No. I can switch that around. I also say, you can please some of the people all the time, you can please all the people some of the time, but you can't please all the people all the time. How in the world do you handle the fact that people still say you're not doing enough? That don't make no sense, because you got to do what you can do, but still you get some folks that say you ain't doing enough. I ran into that, but go ahead.
Well, I think the biggest thing for me is just focus on the work and just focus on the things that we are doing and try to get the most out of the programs that we have and make sure that we're leading successful prosecutions on righteous cases. And I found that if you kind of ignore the noise and just try to focus on the work, everything will take care of itself. And that's what I try to do. That's what I try to stress to my staff and everybody that we work with, is the most important thing is focus on the work, take care of your day-to-day responsibilities, and let's just let that outside noise be just that, just outside noise. And I think that's one of the most important things anybody can do. There's always going to be detractors. There's always going to be haters. There's always going to be people who have criticism or are going to be willing to offer that criticism. But I think it's really important that you remember, okay, why do I want this job? I want to make a difference. I want to have a positive impact. I want to make my community a better place. What am I doing today to achieve that goal? And if I can answer that question positively or in the affirmative, then I don't need to worry about that. And I've also found that when you get distracted by the haters and those other things, it takes you away from the work, and you're taking your energy away from the things that are truly important to you. And so that's where my focus is going to be on, hey, I'm here to try to make Indianapolis a better place. I want to make sure Indianapolis is a more fair place. And in order for me to do that, I need to focus on the work. And if I'm worried about what other people are saying, then I shouldn't be here.
Yeah, because you're back on the west side. You was on the west side just a few days ago online with the community chatter. I believe you was online with some young folks up there, Jeanine Witt.
Yeah.
On her website, talking about the west side stuff and things. Now you're back on the west side again. I know you can't be everywhere. You can't go to everybody's meeting, you know. But you still got to deal with the... You got to deal with the flack of not making it to my meeting.
Yeah, and the one thing I hope people know is like this week I did five events this night or this week, all five, you know, after work hours. And tomorrow I'm going to be at five events on Saturday. So we try to get out there and try to be available to the community to have those conversations, because I think it's important that you get that feedback. But I also think it's important. I got a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old, and I have to be a dad. And so, you know, you do try to make that balance. And so we try to go to as many things as possible, but there's only, you know, so many hours in the day, and we do have a number of responsibilities. So, again, I kind of put that where you didn't come to my meeting. We'll try to get to that meeting maybe the next time. But also, you know, let's just focus on the work.
Wait a minute. You're the prosecutor, right?
Yeah.
You prosecute crimes, right?
Yes, sir.
You prosecute people after they've done bad things, right?
Right.
Wait. Am I confused? Because everything you talked about so far has been prevention.
I'm the one guy.
I don't understand.
I'm the one guy that doesn't want more business. I don't want more business. And, you know, I think the biggest thing is we got to keep people out of the criminal justice system. You know, the rate of success that people have once they enter the criminal justice system is not great, which tells you we need to change our approach in the criminal justice system because it's not producing the results that we want to see. And so my number one thing is, what can I do to keep people out of the criminal justice system? And number two, what can I do to make sure we don't see people again? You know, I think a lot of people, when they think of discipline, they think about, oh, we're gonna punish someone. That's not my approach. I'm thinking of it, what can we do to help change behavior? What can we do to put this person in a better position than they otherwise would have been in? And sometimes, you know, that's through programming. And sometimes that's through diverting cases or keeping people out of the criminal justice system. In particular, I think with the young people, that's really, really critical. You know, there's a lot of people who talk about the school to prison pipeline. And there's a lot of truth to that. And we have to be willing as a criminal justice system to acknowledge those truths and then say, okay, what are we doing proactively to divert that? What are we doing to try to be an interrupter in something that has not always benefited our community?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think everybody knows that it's the prosecutor's job. And how many attorneys do you have?
180.
So you got 180 guys and girls, okay, men and women, to prosecute. So everybody knows that's what you do, but if they don't know what you do on the prevention side, and then I say you're not doing your job, because I agree. We need to put your office out of business. Right. We need to I'll say it, but I love my police officers, I love my teachers, and if they ever left town, I'm leaving town with them. So, but you know, we got to find some way our young folks to think differently, because the homicides on the West Side are up.
Yeah, and you know,
I think they are.
No, they 100% they are, and I think that comes back to that issue, though, of trust between the community and the criminal justice system and the law enforcement system as a whole. You know, if you look at what's going on in terms of violent crime, there's not a murder and there's not a non-fatal shooting that has occurred in the city of Indianapolis where somebody doesn't know what happened.
Yeah.
And the best way to interrupt that cycle of violence is to be able to hold people accountable. And so I think it's very important that we invest in that issue of trust where people are willing to come forward with information. So we can solve these cases, so we can prosecute these cases. You know, because of COVID, we haven't been able to do near the number of trials that we usually do. Mm-hmm. And in fact, for the first couple of months of the year, we couldn't do any trials because of the limitations of COVID. But, you know, we've done 25 murder trials this year. We've won 21 of them. So we're 21 for 25, which is one of the best, actually is the best record this office, the prosecutor's office, has ever had. So it goes to show you that we're in a position to hold people accountable. The challenge is, how can we file more of those cases, and what can we do to disrupt that violence? And it goes back to that issue of trust between the community and law enforcement, but it also goes back to that initial topic of prevention. Yeah. That long-term solution is, what are we going to do to invest in young people? And what are we going to be able to do to demonstrate to, you know, my friend here who's a producer in his class, to be able to say, these are the things that we're trying to do to make your community a better place and give you the best opportunities so you can be successful.
Yeah.
Those are the things that we need to try to do. And if we can't answer that question in the affirmative, then we need to make sure that, you know, we're in a position where I can go to young people and say, this is what I'm doing to try to help you out.
Yeah, life is too, you know, I tell folks all the time, life is just too doggone short. And I'm 66, and I got so much more that I want to do. And he's 17, 18-year-olds and 15, 13, 9-year-olds. Haven't seen nothing yet, and that's just Emerson. That's just true talk, you know. Not a talk. It's just how it is. But if they don't understand, and if someone don't get into their face and say, you have an opportunity to do right. I always tell kids, when they hang out with the kids, if your kids you're hanging with, you can't change their behavior and change attitude. You need to change your friends.
Right.
You know, and what you're talking about in the prevention, hopefully that would help young people understand that, hey, I need to be in a different environment. I need to change my friends. But if they don't see nothing come from your office, but put them in the courtroom, lock them up, then they're not going to have any change.
Yeah, and I think you made a great point there. It's like, if we tell kids to change their environment, then we have to provide an opportunity for another environment for them to go to. I mean, we just can't say, hey, quit hanging out with so-and-so, or quit hanging out at the mall. Well, what's the alternative? Where do we want people to go? Where do we want to provide those opportunities? And I think that's something that we always have to be mindful of, is if I'm going to get up here and say, you can't do X, then I need to give you an alternative in terms of what you should be doing. And you know, that's one of the reasons we started our partnership with the Boys and Girls Club, for kids who have their first contact with the criminal justice system. And the way this program works is, if you're arrested on a nonviolent or low-level offense, we'll have a conversation with you and your family. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to pay for you to go to the Boys and Girls Club as opposed to pay for you to pay to prosecute you. Yeah. And so the thought process, and really it started organically. I was out at the Boys and Girls Club at 38th and Post, the Finish Line Boys and Girls Club, talking to Eric Davenport, who runs that Boys and Girls Club. And he told me, he said, "Ryan, the people in here are not the ones who are out here committing crimes," talking about the kids in the Boys and Girls Club. And I said, "You're right. So what can we do to scale that up and get more people into the Boys and Girls Club?" And so that's where the idea started. And so if the barrier for entry for somebody is $25, and for some family that's $75 because they got more than one kid, I'm happy to pay that if it's going to keep kids out of trouble. But it's also me saying this is a constructive place that you can go. Oh, the Boys and Girls Club has transportation, so you can't use that as an excuse as why you didn't get there. They have really good programming beyond sports that will teach you about your body, about your mental health, all very positive things. One of the things that I underestimated that I didn't appreciate is, you know, we've got some kids in our community who don't have access to reliable internet.
Yeah.
The Boys and Girls Club has a great place during the summer for them to access the internet and use the internet. Those are the types of things that I want to do to demonstrate to the community and young people, hey, we're trying to invest in you. We're trying to make you a better person, as opposed to just saying, well, I'm just going to prosecute you and you know, kind of wag my finger at you and, oh, I've held you accountable.
Right.
It doesn't work that way. I want you to be a better person. I want you to learn from this experience in terms of whatever made you have contact with the criminal justice system. And I want to make that an investment. And I think some of the times it starts with an adult giving a kid a chance, because a lot of these kids haven't had a lot of chances or a lot of opportunities.
Trying to breach that gap so they can't trust you is all about sometimes also what they see. When they look at you, they see a tall basketball looking player, and then they see your shoes. They say the man got on some kicks. Then it starts a conversation. The Boys and Girls Club, you're on the right track. My hometown, Terre Haute, I was born and raised in the Boys Club. When they have nothing to do, it's at the Boys and Girls Club. And they kept it safe. And that's your job now, to keep all of us safe here in Marion County, which I know is one hard job. And a lot of folks, I still don't think they see the whole picture. They only see their little point of view, and then they get stuck on stupid. That Emerson said that, didn't he? I said that. Because the breach is... it's so wide sometimes. I understand that Leadership in Annapolis was doing a couple criminal justice series throughout the city, and they're online where folks can't go to, but they're online, where they're trying to breach that trust between the community and the police department. How do you get involved in that?
Well, number one, when we talk about trust, it has to be a sustained commitment. It can't just be something that's popular today and, oh, hey, we're going to reach out to the community. I think the best way to demonstrate trust is through your actions. Mm-hmm. What am I doing to show the community that I'm here to help? And so some of the things that we're working on in right now is we do our second chance fairs, which is an opportunity for people who have a prior felony conviction, and that felony conviction is holding somebody back from either getting a job, or they're underemployed because of that felony. Or, you know, we have a real problem with housing discrimination against people with felony convictions. And so what our second chance fair does is we work with individuals, and we get volunteers from Eli Lilly, Cummins, all the big places around town, and they provide first-class legal representation to that individual. We walk the person through the process, and we help them get those criminal convictions expunged or removed for the record. That so when they apply for a job or when they apply for housing, they don't feel that sense of discrimination. And I talked to a guy one time, and he told me, he said, "Hey, I was okay with doing the time on the felony. I just didn't know it was going to be a life sentence because this thing's followed me around everywhere." So that's important for us. And I think that demonstrates trust in the community of us saying, hey, this is us with our hand out, not trying to jam you up, but what can we do to help out? I think the other big issue that we try to help people out on is driver's licenses.
Talk to me now.
Yeah, and so there are too many people who are excluded from our workforce right now because they don't have a driver's license.
Yeah.
Either they can't get to and from work because they don't have a driver's license, or a lot of employers, which I didn't realize, require a driver's license. And so what we do in our second chance fair is we work with people. And unfortunately, it's a lot of people who, when they were 16, 17 years old, never bothered to get a license, and they've ruined their driving record. And so to everybody out there who's listening, who's in that age range, what you do now can impact you moving forward and make it really difficult for you to get a license. So please be responsible and go through the process to get yourself a license. But what we found is, you know, people get pulled over, and I'm not talking about the people who are driving 150 miles down 38th Street or the people who are driving drunk. Right.
I said that. Emerson said that.
Yeah. I'm not talking about those folks, but the people who get pulled over maybe because they failed a signal, or the people who didn't come to a complete stop at a stop sign. They get pulled over, and then they don't have the money to pay their ticket. Yeah. And under Indiana law, their license automatically gets suspended. And so we criminalize them every time they go to work, every time they go to church, every time they pick up their kids from school. And it really doesn't impact public safety in a positive way. And we're not better off as a community by criminalizing that person every time they drive. And so we work with them to set aside those tickets, waive their BMV reinstatement fees, so they can hopefully move forward and get that job and be employed. Because I'm a big believer that not only are we restoring trust by doing these types of programs, but if people are working and they have a job, they're definitely not committing violent crimes.
It's
just a fact.
That is true.
And so I want to try to get as many people in the workforce as possible. And that's why we try to invest so much time, energy, and effort into these types of programs.
And speaking of time, time flew. What is the max? Time flies. You're in school. You know these things. But I know you got somewhere you got to go and you got to be. Before you dash out the door and do what you do, what do you want to say to my students? Anything you want to leave with my students on their heart or on their mind from your position?
Well, I think the biggest thing is I hope everybody understands that Michael Jordan's way better than LeBron James. And that's the debate I frequently have with young people when I talk to them. And yes, I'm wearing the Jordan 1s today in recognition of that. No, I think the biggest thing is Indianapolis is a great place. It's a great community, and young people are the foundation of our community right now. They are the ones who give us the opportunity. They're the ones who are going to make companies want to come here and invest, because the people who are 17, 18 years old, by the time those investments are ready to blossom, it's going to be you guys, the young people, who are going to be, you know, responsible for taking over those companies, those businesses. And so when we talk about Indianapolis and the future of Indianapolis, we're talking about you. And so I hope they understand that that's a tremendous responsibility, but it's also a tremendous opportunity. And Indianapolis is a great place to live. Yeah. It's a great place to raise a family. And let's invest in each other. And because this is our community, let's not do things that harm our community and make our community maybe not the most desirable place to live. And it's simple things to if you see trash on the side of the road, pick it up.
Yeah.
And don't throw trash on the side of the road.
Yeah.
Those are just small things that impact quality of life here in our city. And then that, you know, leads up to the bigger things like, hey, let's make those good choices in terms about who we hang out with.
Yeah.
Let's make those good choices in terms of, are we going to be dedicated to our studies to make sure that we have a really smart, intelligent workforce that's going to be attractive to national corporations to come here and make those investments. And so, you know, I just hope young people, and I'm bullish on Indianapolis. I'm buying all the stock I can in the city of Indianapolis, because I go around to all these schools and I meet so many young people who are incredibly talented people. Stay in Indianapolis, invest in Indianapolis. And, you know, 10 years from now, we're going to talk about this new class of people that we have right now who are coming out of high school. These are the kids that are going to make Indianapolis one of the most special places in the country.
Well, we appreciate you, sir. You always got an open invitation here on Giant 90.9 and the high school I speak for. I can probably speak for the principal, say anytime you got something to say to our student, drop the information, just show up my big window. I'll put you on the airway as soon as you show up. Mr. Ryan Mears, the prosecutor of Marion County. And folks out there in the audience, you're entitled to your own opinion, but not your own facts. So get your facts straight when you're dealing with the prosecutor, because he's a man for the community. And so we appreciate everything you're doing. And you're small. You ain't been there long.
Right. Two years.
I mean, 2 years, that's not a long time.
No.
You know, and things always change. So keep on doing what you're doing. And then that way, hopefully, all this positive information that you're doing, all this positive prevention can bring down this crime level. And folks, y'all got to do your part. You know, don't go out and do stupid stuff. You know, just don't do it. Because then you'll be meeting those 180-plus prosecutors
right.
that are going to do the rule of law, and you don't want to get involved in that criminal justice system. It's not no fun. That part's not no fun. No. Well, thank you, sir. And I thank your staff for allowing us to pull you away from all the big things that you got to do in the community.
I really enjoyed the conversation, and go Giants.
Go Giants. We did it, y'all. We had 2016, we had Prosecutor Terry Curry here. Now we had the current prosecutor, Mr. Ryan Mears. Thank you very much, sir. And so I get you back to class. You're in class. You probably going to another meeting. And I'm on Monday off. So to the parents and to the teachers. Our students have so much to give. You must teach them to be investors in themselves and others. What you give out, what you're going to be giving back. And still remember, your future is in the hands of the ones you hang with. It's okay to be a copycat. Just copy the cat wearing the mask. Do the right thing and wear that mask. I'm tired of wearing this mask. Now, it's like I'm speaking in through a sock. You know, one of those dirty socks you've been playing basketball in, you know? And I hate this thing on my face. It makes like almost bad as me saying y'all wearing, I hate sagging. I hate kids that, Mr. Prosecutor, what do you think about sagging pants?
Let's get them up.
Get them up. I hate sagging. Don't break your hips and stuff and hurt your back and don't look good. Can't get no dates because you're BBDs or bloop, what was that? Through the Loomer Show, I don't know. Pull your pants up. I can't stand it, Mr. I just can't stand it. Can I get a law? Can I make a law that says get the law to sag your pants?
We're working on it.
Oh, my goodness. The Fuse Express and School Talk, National Fuse of Engine Engineering Academy. The Fuse Express and School Talk, National Fuse of MSD of Wayne Township, Bendis High School, Giant 90.9. The Fuse of me and my guests. Until next week, I'll see you. Stay out of trouble. Be playing basketball and go to college. See you next week on School Talk.